This is Gordon Evans. I am speaking with James Tucker. He is Veterans Service Coordinator for Kalamazoo County. James Tucker, thank you very much for being with us.
Mm-hmm. Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Explain a little bit about what your job is with Kalamazoo County.
Okay, my job here with Kalamazoo County, I'm the director of the Kalamazoo County Veterans Service Office. And what we do, we help facilitate veterans issues, everything from getting compensations, claims, pensions, getting things such as medical assistance that they may need. Sometimes if they have food issues, we help out with food vouchers, gas vouchers. So those are just some of the things that we do.
And to explain your background, you yourself are a veteran, correct?
Yes, I'm a veteran. I have 21 years in United States Army. My first 8 years were active duty, and then I joined the National Guard, and now I'm serving in the reserves. Love it. I'm a native of Kalamazoo, and so it feels good to be a positive role model for a lot of people that are looking for one.
So in your position with the county, how much do you see in terms of homeless veterans? How big a problem do you see it being in our area?
It's problematic. What happens, we look at homeless veterans are the ones that we see sleeping up under bridges, the ones we see in the gospel missions, the ones that we see downtown Bronson Park. But we're in charge of the county at large, of all the municipalities. And so we really don't have a gauge on how many homeless veterans there are, because homeless is not just not having or sleeping outside, but homeless is also being a couch surfer, if you will, you know, staying with your cousin for a week and then staying with some friends for another week. And, you know, you're going from pillar to post. So we really don't have a gauge on the number of homeless veterans. But when I go downtown, when I go to the gospel mission, when I go to Rose Park, which is the memorial over by the Kalamazoo River, you have veterans that sleep down there. They even have a tent village off of Lover's Lane to where you can go down there and see homeless veterans. So the issue's out there, but I'm scared that for some reason the county, sometimes, do we really want to tackle that issue? We talk big things about veterans, how much we appreciate them, how much we want to see them succeed. But yet when we see them out there, you know, what are we really doing? You know, we pull off the highway and we see individuals, male and female, sometimes families out there that say, I'm a homeless vet. Can you help me out? Granted, we have to look and question, you know, are they using that as a crutch to get help? Or are they really true veterans? You know, and sometimes I stop by and I give them a card. Hey, you know, come see me. We can help you out.
And I suppose that's the other question. You're right. We don't know exactly everyone who is out there who we don't see sleeping on the street. But do we know the people we do see perhaps sleeping in Bronson Park? Can we always verify that they're veterans? Is that something that we can get at easily?
I mean, it's hard to verify. I mean, sometimes you'll find veterans. I don't believe that we'll have too many non-veterans that'll walk around wearing a Vietnam-era hat, a World War II-era hat, a Korea-era hat, OIF, OEF, which is Operation Enduring Freedom or Iraqi Freedom. Nowadays, you know, back in the day, if they wore camouflage, the old OD Green or the BDU's camouflage, you can tell. But now you can buy those anywhere, you know, and so you really can't say who's a veteran, who's not a veteran, when you can go to a surplus store and get these. And what I'll do, I'll just begin to ask questions. Did you serve? And, you know, whether it was Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, I mean, just begin to ask them questions and then begin to pull things from them, you know, as far as their service, basic things, you know, like weapons qualification, basic things like physical training, duty stations, where they went to basic training at. And then you can kind of get a gauge if they really served or not. Because some people, they take that as an advantage. Well, if I'm a veteran, I can get help. And, you know, and some people still carry around the discharge papers in their wallet. You know, some people may have certain things from when they were active duty, you know, that can verify, hey, okay, you did serve. And then we can go from there.
Is it also possible, though, that some people may be homeless and they may choose not to identify themselves as a veteran, that they may, you know, decide that that's just something they don't want to share, especially if they don't trust someone right off the bat?
It is. I mean, when you look at a lot of veterans, depending on what they went through, especially if they were in a conflict, war, some veterans feel as if, you know, I hear this a lot, and sometimes it frustrates myself and Aaron Ellison, who is my assistant. He's our county service specialist. And sometimes what people say is like, well, you know, I'll leave that for someone else, for those who need it. I'll let them. But I'm like, so who is them? Who are those? Who are you talking about? Because if we're a band of brothers and sisters, you fall in this category. You saying that, you know, it could be someone worse, but yet you're homeless and you're out here. And one thing I heard a homeless veteran said before, this was last year at a conference I went through. He was like, the military teaches you how to survive. They teach you how to go from day to day, how to be it, unfortunately, if you have to go to a dumpster or go into an abandoned house or whatever you have to do to survive, you know, everything but doing anything illicit and illegal. Well, going into an abandoned house is illegal, but I mean, as far as like robbing and burglary and breaking and entering and things like that, we know how to survive. And if you're a survivor, you'll say, well, I don't need any help because I've been doing it this long. And so some people, they'll say, well, you know, I'd rather not get the help, but the help is there. And you have some veterans, you know, I'll take our Vietnam veterans, you know, as well as I do, is that when they came back, they were so disrespected. They were called baby murderers. They were called murderers. They were called all type of things. They were spit upon. They were cussed out, you know, when they got back. But I'm servicing my country. I lost a whole platoon. You don't know what we went through over there. And so what happens when they got back, they had nothing to do with anything that had to deal with the armed forces. Of course, VA has to deal with armed forces. And some people still have that mentality, like, you know, I don't want anything to do with it because of the way I was treated and disrespected when I came home from my own people. And so that's why some people really don't want to get the services. But I tell them, I said, that was 30 years ago. You know, times have changed. You know, I appreciate you, what you did. My dad's a Vietnam vet. I know other Vietnam vets. So come get the help that you need. You don't have to be out here homeless. You don't have to be out here struggling. You don't have to be out here wondering how you're going to go from paycheck to paycheck. When you can come to our office and we can see what we can do. Everything's not given. Everything's not promised. Everything is a process. So if they come in and they allow us to help them go through the process, even if they're getting $100 a month, if they get $200 a month, if they end up getting 100% based on a service-connected disability that they may have, you know, those are monies that they can have to help them out to get to an apartment or get to a house.
What are some of the things that contribute to veterans ending up homeless?
It could be a plethora of things. It could be coming back and having a drug abuse issue. It can be having an alcohol issue. So it's not necessarily the fact of not having the resources to be successful when they get back. Some of them are dealing with their own vices. You know, if we talk about PTSD, you know, it's a known fact of me having been overseas is that when you come back, sometimes being infantry, that when you come back, you know, sometimes you have struggles of being in a closed environment, say like this, a studio room that we're in, you know, it's closed, or they may not want to work with a lot of people, or they may not want to work around a place where there's a lot of sound. They may have a job to where they can drive trucks for the city, but what they're remembering every time they see a pothole, they swerve out the way. So they, and what happens is just like in Vietnam or even people that have not served and are dealing with some type of PTSD, they may try to smoke that issue away, drink that issue away, which can cause them not to have a job or lose a job, which is one thing. Another issue of coming back is not being hired, you know, because there's a lot of human resources. There are a lot of people that are out there, like you and I talked prior to the taping, is that, you know, they begin to judge us, if you will, with the PTSD. You know, will she crack? Will they break? Will they show up? Dealing with the fact, like myself, being in the Army Reserves and having been gone for 3 weeks from my job, well, we can't afford him or her to be gone for 3 weeks. And so therefore, they don't want to hire veterans. And education, you know, but the thing about it is when you get a soldier that served 6 to 20 years, they may not have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, but they have a work ethic that the college student that just graduated, will just graduate in May, this coming May, June, or next December, a soldier that has done 4 years has more experience than that individual who just has the schoolwork. Now, I'm all for education all day long, but sometimes we have to look at that. I know that this person will be on time, that they have on-the-job training for 4 years, 8 years, 20 years, but sometimes they don't look at that because of the status quo that a lot of businesses and organizations have to have.
You mentioned work ethic. I've also heard it said that a lot of people who go through the military develop problem-solving skills that the rest of us may not have the opportunity to develop just because of the things that may come up in various situations.
That is true, you know, but soldiers are just like civilians. You know, you have the civilians that have problem solving skills, and you have some military men and women. They go in there and they may not have what it takes to solve the problem because that's their character, but they learn how to solve problems. I mean, from the time that you go to basic training, you know, you learn how to take your M16 apart. You learn how to take it apart in various situations, in rain, under fire, fake fire, of course. You learn how to do land navigation, map reading. You learn how to team build. They have this obstacle course over at Fort Custer, and it's a team building obstacle course, and it's a water obstacle. And what happens is you're a team of four, but you have to get from one side to the other with very limited resources. And last year we had Western Michigan University's girls basketball team, the ladies there. And it was, you know, just to see them, because it's one thing to have teamwork on the court, but it's another thing to have teamwork in adverse situations where you don't have a lot of resources. But to see how they overcame. And then the next day we had a young football team from a high school, young kids, they were there. And so we do learn how to have the team building, the problem solving issues. We had an issue one time before at work, where I had worked at previously, and I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And I said, well, let's do this, because we couldn't find any leaders around. But at the end of the day, the way we worked it out, you know, my supervisor, they were like, you know, way to go, way to grab it and take hold of it. So when you see an issue, you know, we do know how to solve it, or at least find the resources to get it resolved.
Can there also be challenges for veterans if they have, say, a physical disability from perhaps having served in combat, or if combat has left them? You mentioned post-traumatic stress disorder, but there's other mental conditions that could have developed as well. Could those things also be the impetus that leads them in a difficult spot where perhaps they end up homeless?
It could, you know, but it's just like any other law that's out there, that if you have some type of handicap by law, that you cannot use that against them to hire them or fire them, that you have to hire them and fire them based on their skills or lack thereof. But that could be something that people look at, you know, even if you're not a veteran dealing with physical issues or PTSD, you can be a college student and have been in a horrific accident and everyone in your car passed away but you. And every time you come to an intersection now, you know, you think about that. So it's PTSD. People say it's different, but at the end of the day, it's one and the same, that when you have suffered something traumatic, that is going to be with you. And for a job not to hire you because you come in now with a prosthetic leg, a prosthetic hand, because you're coming in now and you may have the loss of vision in one eye. You come in now, you may have burn marks on half the side of your face. The thing about it is, if you know they're a soldier, don't have pity for them, but hire them based on the skills in which they have. Those are just physical ailments they have. Those are just issues due to serving their country. You know, you have someone who had an issue like Oprah Winfrey. She was dyslexic, but look at where she's at now. You have other people like, I know it's a legal issue now, but the track runner from Africa, they called him Blade Runner because he ran on the two prosthetics. At the end of the day, he got where he was based on his ability. At the end of the day, Oprah Winfrey got where she is based on her ability. At the end of the day, soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, they should get to where they are based on their ability, not because they walked in with a prosthetic leg, but what's inside their brain, what's inside their heart, the passion that they have. Because if they have a passion to serve their country, just think of the passion they have by serving your company.
What is available to a veteran who may be homeless or perhaps has fallen upon hard times and they could be in danger of becoming homeless sometime soon?
Well, they have in Battle Creek is called Silver Star Homes. Silver Star Homes is where if you're a homeless veteran, you can go to them and then they'll take you to the process to get an apartment. They're going to start building some here in Kalamazoo. They haven't put a date out there yet. It's in the talks of trying to get a Silver Star here. They also had what's called HUD-VASH through VA. You can get with the VA, any VA in the country, and ask about HUD-VASH, and it's for homeless. And it's been to me, a light in a dark place, because I never knew about the HUD bash until someone came into my office thinking that the meeting was in there. And then when they came in, I was like, HUD bash? And now to see homeless veterans that we have instructed to go to HUD bash, instructed to go to Silver Star, and have them come back and say, you know what, I got an apartment. I seen one individual, I believe it was around the holiday season. I was at one of the local grocery stores. And he was like, aren't you the guy that works up there? I'm like, yeah. He was like, I got a place with HUD Vash. And he was so excited. He said, I'm moving in a couple weeks. And, you know, and that made me excited because I seen the system work. And then when you allow the system to work, that's when you get the benefits. And what happens is sometimes people, they're so frustrated because the system has failed them that they don't want to try the system again. But I'm like, try it, because there are more things that are coming out. There are a lot of nonprofits that are out there now that want to help homeless veterans out. And so what I'm trying to do is gather those nonprofit organizations, gather different business to say, what can we do to help our homeless veterans out? I'm trying to deal with, I'm not going to put the names out there, but different organizations and businesses to where we're trying to collaborate to help our veterans. I mean, I look at it, we have a lot of these homes that are out there that are just sitting there. You know, not homes that need to be foreclosed, homes that are not need to be demolished, but just sitting there because they're smaller homes.
Let's use, but might those need homes to be rehabbed in some way.
Right, could
might
be and some of them may not be need to be rehabbed. It could be like the studio we're sitting in. There's nothing wrong with it. No one just lived here, been here in so long that it just has that, you know, that stale smell that a home can get after a while. We have all these homes out here, but we want to make a dime off of them. But let's say, hey, look, what can we do to help these veterans out? We have a lot of closed businesses, buildings that we can turn into apartments for our homeless veterans. And we have a lot of people say we want to do things, but when it comes to put the time and the money in, where are they at?
Can someone who knows a veteran who is homeless or maybe, again, in danger of being homeless, you know, what sort of availability is there? Because I guess I wonder about legal issues and those sort of things. You know, is there an opportunity for someone who knows a veteran to offer help?
I mean, it's always able to offer veteran help by way of if you have an extra room or if you can help them out, you know, put them up for a while. If you have an extra property where you can help them out or even send them to our office. You know, like I said, it's not a 24-hour change to where you come in today, okay? It's not like a hotel. You come in today, we'll put you up. It's the process. And I believe that once you find out, I had a lady that called me, I believe it was about a month ago, and she's from another county, but she's seen a veteran sleeping in his car. And I was like, well, how do you know he's a veteran? Well, he had a veteran's license plate, and then I was able to talk to him. She's like, what can we do? He sleeps in his car, you know? And so his license plate was from Illinois. I said, well, let me call, you know, to find out to see what was going on. Those are the people that we need in society, that even though she did not know the man, but she took a minute to talk to him to find out the situation and then to call our office to say, okay, I don't know what you can do. But then after she called us, it's on us to try to find out what we can do to help this individual out. I made some phone calls. I don't know what the end result ended up being, you know, but anyone can help a veteran out, you know, especially if you know someone, family, friend, or an acquaintance, you know, to where if you see them getting to a position to where things don't look well, send them to our office. We have what's called the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund. What the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund is a trust fund through the state of Michigan. And what it is, it's a trust that was put forth, I believe, during World War I, World War II, that when they came back home, they were helping families out. You know, they were giving them money. And so when the war was over, instead of putting it back and dispersing it to the charities or the individuals that gave it, they made a trust. And so we've had that trust fund since then. And it's a $50 million trust. And I believe at the last I heard, we're working off the interest of $3 million. So we're not even touching the principal of the $50 million trust. And so say there's an individual, now he or she has hit hard times and now their mortgage or their rent, they can come to us and they can fill out or any county in the state of Michigan. They can go to their county counselor, veterans counselor, show them the situation, put in for the application, and then if everything is approved, they can get money so they won't get foreclosed on their mortgage. So there's different things like that before homelessness has to take place. even an apartment, if you are late on your rent and you have an eviction notice, you can come to us, do it, and then we can give you up to 3 months monies through the trust fund. You know, but after that, you know, what are you going to do after that? The question is, what are you going to do now? Because you only can use the trust fund twice a year. You know, so we try to help them out with send them to someone that can help them out with financial management. But these are the ones that may have homes or apartments, but have hit a hard time right now. The ones that are homeless, you know, we try to help them out to get them through HUD-VASH or get them through Silver Star.
Do you think that there is enough knowledge out there in the community about the services that are available? In other words, do you need to be more visible, or, and not just, you know, your office, but other offices that are trying to help veterans? Does there need to be a greater awareness that all of this exists?
Yes, it does. It does. As you and I talked, I've been in this position now for since March 2013, and I moved back to Kalamazoo in 2005. My wife and I, from out of active duty. My wife, she's 100% veteran. And we actually had to walk the paperwork through. And a lot of people are like, well, that's fine. It is, but we never knew that this office existed in Kalamazoo. And every day we'd ride up and down Gull Road, you know, see Nazareth College or, you know, every day. And never knew that there was a Kalamazoo County Veterans Service Office in there. Now, mind you, if we had known, that would have been less time and energy we would have had to spend going from Kalamazoo to Detroit to Ann Arbor to back to Battle Creek. You know, we could have went to the office and they could have helped out. Okay, you need this paperwork and that paperwork. So it does need to be made known, you know, and that's one thing that Aaron and I have done, you know, since we took over the office. Our predecessors, Don Jarzenbeck and Sue Ware, they did an awesome job, you know, and now what we're doing, we're sustaining what they had as well as building upon it, you know, so more people can know. We're averaging 135 veterans since we've come into the office, where there was an average of 65, 75 a month prior, in the few years prior. So we've been getting out there by way of the show like WMK, MUK today, by way of WWMT Channel 3, by way of the newspaper, by going to like the Northside Ministry Alliance, going to Senior Services, going to Washington Square, going to other places, the Senior Expo, and letting be made known that we're here for you as veterans. With Aaron and I both being a veteran, we have compassion, we have the empathy, we have the sympathy, but we let them know that it's going to be a process. And we tell a lot of the veterans, you know, don't be scared. That's the word I'm going to use. I know a lot of veterans are probably saying, no, I'm not scared, but don't be scared or don't be intimidated to come see us. You know, because that's what we are here for. That's what we get paid for by the Kalamazoo County government. We don't get paid by quota, by how many veterans come in. We get paid by the county government through our salary to make sure that these veterans are successful, that they can succeed, and they can get everything that they rightfully deserve. Now, mind you, one veteran can come in and get 100%. Another veteran may come in and get 30%. Every veteran's issues are different. So a veteran can't come in and say, well, my friend, he got this, this, that, and the other. And how come
they
I'm
may not
this?
Get that, yeah.
You know, and we have to sit down and explain it to them, you know, in a professional manner. You know, this is why, because this veteran, your friend had this issue and you have the same issue, but he didn't tell you that he also has X, Y, and Z, you know, and his friend will say, I told you, you know, so I love that when that happens, but we're here. And what I would tell Radioland, let people know, whether you hear this in Kalamazoo, Lansing, or you're overseas someplace listening by way of the World Wide Web,
yeah.
You know, let veterans know that they have help out there for them, that they don't have to take this journey alone, that they don't have to live homeless. You know, things happen. Like I said, there are homeless veterans out there, but there's also homeless doctors are out there. They have PhDs, people that have masters, MBAs. It's the thing of life that happens, but it's what you do to get up and use the resources to continue on.
James Tucker, thank you very much for your time.
Yes, thank you. I thank you. Thank you. Enjoyed it.
James Tucker is Veterans Service Coordinator for Kalamazoo County.